So I think for this call, we were basically, again, supposed to go through our sections of the report and try and clean them up and continue to work on them and then see where we stood. And I was just telling Jackie that I have been looking a little bit at the results section, so that is still a very rough draft, but it is now at least some text, hopefully coherent text, instead of just a bulleted list of tables. So that was the last big section to work on, and it's at least underway now. Anyone have any comments or questions on their part?
No, I will have more time soon, hopefully. So.
Yeah, I mean, I my job is kind of read all the way through it, and I've started to make little notes here and there, so you can kind of see. I got as far. I didn't get through the whole thing yet. I'm in the middle. I was looking at Solo, actually, and that's, in all honesty, as far as I got. And then I got distracted by some students. But my one, like, kind of overarching note, as I'm reading through, like, as we're talking about the description of what we did and everything, and this is kind of where you guys can maybe argue with me a little bit, it seems like we have a lot of detail, like almost too much detail. Like, for instance, when we start talking about the data coding,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's almost like a lot of this could go in the appendice. Like, I don't know that we necessarily need to be that explicit about that a rating of 1 or 2 on the Mac versus PC statement was classified as strong PC, or a 6 or 7 was strong Mac, and everything else was classified as neutral. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Just as like a third, you know, because my job is kind of as somebody who's just trying to read this for the first time. There's just so much detail about all of our coding that I can see someone getting very lost in it.
Okay.
So, you know, I think actually, I mean, my honest opinion was like ratings on the opinion surveys were grouped based on the strength and direction of students' opinion for each statement. I mean, we should have this information somewhere, but I'm not sure necessarily that it needs to be right there. You can disagree with me. I, you know, the other thing I thought, and I just kind of realized this because I was kind of looking through the modified Solo stuff, and we explain what the Solo is, and then we start talking about how we interpreted it. And that's actually a little confusing because are we using the Solo or are we using, like, you really got to read it closely to realize, oh, okay, so the coding scheme that we're using is the second set. You know, you have to, like, read through the codes for the current experiment, build upon these ideas, et cetera, et cetera. So my thought, actually, as I was sort of, like, rambling on here in the note, was maybe we need to talk about the Solo back in the lit review and make that sort of our theoretical frame, in our theoretical framework, that basically that was sort of a framing in our data collection and put it sort of separated a little bit so that it's very clear that this is the coding scheme that we used for our paper.
Okay.
I don't know, just a thought, again, just to make the distinction clearer from, I understand why it's here, that because we built our coding scheme off of this. I don't know. I was just trying to sort of read it as a person reading it for the first time, where I might be confused. And
or do you think we could just, excuse me, just put the citation, and then if they really want to understand solo, they could just go read that paper.
Well, that was my other note, is that those reading, that was my other idea, was that those reading this paper are actually more probably going to be familiar with the solo taxonomy, and so did we necessarily need to explain it in detail?
I kind of see what you're saying. I don't know if this is not our way of doing it, if we should just reference it and they could go read that if they needed to.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So I would get rid of, so actually looking at that paragraph in the document, I would get rid of the sentence starting in the solo taxonomy, then the four bullets. And then I would modify the next sentence. Are you guys okay with me just deleting it and starting to make some changes?
Sure.
Or, especially since you can type faster than me, I have a delayed issue with Google Docs.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I should say, I mean, we could say something modified solo taxonomy, which classified students into four tiers. You could say something like that. So just kind of an overview of the taxonomy, and then we built upon this, here's our coding scheme, something along those lines was my thought.
Basically what I did, I really just stripped out everything from the sentence in the solo taxonomy down to first half of the next sentence. So now it just reads, both coding schemes were based on a modified solo taxonomy while also trying to capture the varying degrees of statistical and contextual reasoning used by students. I'm sure this is going to be a long paper. So if we can strip out unnecessary detail, that I believe would be a good thing. The trick, of course, will be trying to decide what detail is necessary and what's not.
Yeah. I just thought, because our coding scheme is so detailed and so intricate, that was maybe one spot where we didn't necessarily need to introduce the coding scheme that we built it upon.
Yeah, that's probably reasonable.
The other thing I kind of added that was new, you know, I remember I was talking about, like, grounded theory, qualitative research stuff. There's a little paragraph that I added, and I have to figure out where the heck I'm going to put it and if we even want it. I found an article that talked about some of the methods of grounded theory qualitative research, which included simultaneous collection and analysis of data. Which we did. We were collecting and analyzing data at the same time, right?
Yeah.
We were analyzing it as we were collecting it over the semester. Okay. So, I mean, tell me if I'm... The only one I couldn't think of whether we really did was like a two-step data coding process, which I think basically is sort of you code it once and then you go back and you re-code it. That makes any sense. Like once you've sort of looked at it, figured out whether it works or not, you go back and you recode it. And then a sampling to refine the researcher's emerging theoretical ideas. So basically once you have a coding scheme, you take a sample of your data and you see if your coding scheme works or not, which I'm pretty sure we did.
Extensively.
Okay. And then integration of the theoretical framework. That was the other one that I kind of picked out as a method that we employed. But that was kind of weak, too, because I'm like, well, exactly what was a theoretical framework? But anyway, I mean, it was the taxonomy. We were trying to integrate. I don't know, that one I was a little nebulous on. I have to look at that one again. But I thought if maybe... We sort of snuck that in just somewhere, maybe in the methods section. We would sound a little bit more
like we knew what we were doing.
Yes. Even though we're kind of doing this backwards, we really should sort of have this plan ahead of time and then do the research. But, you know. Yeah, I have a citation. You know. So, Tara, what are you doing with that?
Is it analyzing our data that we used it, or was it coding our data that we used it? Because you wrote in analyzing our data.
Coding, analyzing, it's because it's coding and analyzing, I would say, is the same thing. In qualitative research, it's kind of the same thing. You're analyzing it as you're coding it. That's what grounded theory basically is sort of the analysis comes out of the coding and the coding comes out of the analysis. Does that make
sense? I guess I view that more linearly, but I view it more linearly.
No, that's the whole thing. Grounded theory, it comes out of the, your codes come out of the data.
Yeah, I think, well, as quantitative statisticians, we're probably all thinking of the analysis as more the kind of tables and the part where we use SAS and that sort of thing. But
yeah.
I agree with Lee that in more, since the setup of this was in some sense more qualitative, the coding process was an analysis process in and of itself.
I mean, if you're not comfortable with it, we can take it out. I mean, I understand I'm kind of sneaking this in, and I don't have...
I like it. It sounds smart.
Well, yeah, and that's the reason I'm putting it in, which, you know, if somebody calls us on it, it may not go well.
You want to, where were you saying? Right now you have the up in the literature review, right?
Yeah, it's just the last little add-on to the literature
right,
review, because
yeah.
I wasn't sure where I was going to put it. Probably should go kind of as a little citation somewhere in the methods section when we talk about the... Either when we're talking about the coding or...
I have to just put this...
For the procedure or something.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's going to the procedure section.
It could have everything you need, but if you have...
Procedures, tasks, and instruments.
Yeah.
Oh.
All
right, thank you very
more
much.
Of the procedure.
Sorry, I had a TA come pick up an exam. Did I miss anything?
We were just trying to figure out where to fit that in, whether that fit better in the procedure section, if I tweak it a little bit, or whether it should be the methods or...
The stuff about grounded theory?
Yeah. I think it would be great if we could
I'm sorry, what's the difference between procedure and method?
Do we have a procedure section?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I hadn't gotten that far.
2.2 is procedure, tasks, and instruments.
I see that.
I probably should go in the method section.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe the data coding here. Yeah, it actually would fit in the data coding section pretty well.
So should 2.2 just be instruments?
2.2. Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's really all that's there?
I would actually feel... I think it should...
It's a stupid question.
I think it should go in 2.5, data coding.
Yeah, just as kind of a little...
It goes directly to our coding approach and kind of provides the justification for why we coded the way we did.
Yeah. And then, with the solo, that kind of the two together...
Yeah.
I think
shows that we weren't
solid.
Completely out.
Yeah. I was also hoping that maybe we could get some... I was looking through the SMUR report today to see if we could maybe cite something from that. The statistical methods and education research or statistics education research thing. I didn't find anything yet, but I'm looking. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, never mind. I'll put it in Mendeley. Harley, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry, Dennis just, right before my defense, he gave it to me. He was like, you need to read this. I was like, okay.
Wait, I'm sorry, just the Smur report or a particular part of it?
No, just the Smur report in general.
Oh, yeah, I am familiar with the Smur report. He gave it to you right before your defense?
A couple of days.
Nice.
He's like, or actually, I think he might have given it to me earlier, and I didn't know it. And he was like, you read that, right? And I'm like,
Sure.
Maybe send me another copy, because I don't know where it is. Anyway, sorry, off topic.
Well, thank you for looking at that stuff on Grounded Theory. I do think it's important that we kind of justify the approach that we took, and then the solo kind of gives the basis for the particular codes that we have. So does anyone have any other comments or questions about the kind of background to the document, section 1 or 2? Anyone still there?
Yes.
Right. I'm good. I mean, I have, like, minor things that I'm going to try and fix, and I made little notes on those. So.
Yeah, I saw some comments through. I really like the comment feature on this. It's nice. All right. So I guess then the next big section was the there's the results, and then the Jackie's rough draft of the discussion and conclusion. And the results, basically, since that was my part, I'll start to talk about that. I basically went through and looked at the analyses that Tara had run for us a couple months ago. And started to look at those. So right now, the way I'm looking at this, or the way it's kind of presented, is first we just look at the general use of unnecessary contextual information, just percent of context. And if you remember, we had a couple of documents. One broke students into 10 categories where we looked at how many strong ratings they had given, how many neutral ratings they had given, and then for the strong ratings, whether the conclusions agreed or disagreed. And we had broke that up initially into 10 categories, which considered all possible combinations of strength and agreement. And then looking at that, so I have those 10 categories in there. They're described, and then I include the table, which looks at the percent who included unnecessary contextual information in each category. Based on that, I don't see that context actually makes much of a difference. So that's kind of the conclusion I draw out of that, and then I say because we didn't see context made much of a difference, we collapsed the 10 categories into 4, which just looked at kind of strength of opinion. And then that table actually isn't completely done yet. We need to do some collapsing of the table Tara had, but looking at what is here, I kind of made the guess that, again, we're not really going to see that even strength of opinion makes much of a difference. So that's kind of what I have in there now is the tentative conclusion. And then from there, without too much segue, I also just go in and say, well, we also explored students' pattern of reasoning through their raw codes. And that is a table that I think is going to require a little bit more, like we'll have to pull from some stuff for SRTL and kind of decide what's important to present there. But then that's kind of so far the flow of how I've taken the analyses based on the in-class data. And I know that y'all really haven't had a time to read that because I just typed it yesterday and today. But does anyone have any questions, comments, things they think it's important to highlight? Anything along those lines?
I was going to say, when we get that part done, I think that would be something great to run by our RAB, because since we're so attached to it, just to have someone who's not attached to it look at it and see if it makes sense.
I agree.
Because, I mean, it looks like there's going to be a lot of tables. So seeing if that makes sense to someone who did not do all the data analysis.
Yeah.
Everyone still there?
Yeah, still here.
We're all so talkative at the end of the semester.
It's like, did I lose everybody?
Yeah, that's true. And maybe when we look at, kind of the raw codes and decide what sort of pattern there, maybe we'll end up focusing more on that and stripping away some of the detail that I had put in. Because, again, we certainly don't need to include a step-by-step, you know, this is every single thing we did. And here's the table that goes with it. So I kind of went through, based on some previous notes we had made, started to write it up this way. But we may find... It needs to be kind of spun around or reduced. So I guess the next step with that is just to get all of those tables in. So we had, the source I'm using for this data is, documents, these had gone out a while ago. They said like analysis plan A and analysis plan B, or analysis plan part A and analysis plan part B. And then we would also have some information from the SRTL slides. I guess the big question is also, are those the most current finals to be or most current files to be using? Because we had some questions about whether or not, at least I did, had some questions about whether or not the demographic data was correct. And so I wonder if these tables are correct.
The demographics for SRTL would have been correct. The ones for the SDEP wouldn't have been complete because we only had the one set of data.
I'm trying to look at my SRTL presentation now. Yeah, the demographics for SRTL were actually not that broken down. Wait, maybe in the paper it had it more. Let's go back and look.
Did we have them broken down in the JSM presentation? The presentations would be more up to date than the SDEP stuff because we didn't have all of our data done for us.
Let's see, JSM. That's not the right JSM. I should really upload that to... Yeah, that's the wrong JSM. Okay. ahead. Flash cuts 11. Research cluster.
I remember when last time we talked about the demographics, I looked at something and I thought I sent everyone an email. Maybe I didn't compile it. I don't even remember what our discussion was last time.
The SRTLP still has 36 students for capital.
But that paper had to be written before. Didn't we submit that paper even before we did the...
Yeah.
So that...
The presentation said the up-to-date stuff.
Yeah, I don't think the I don't think the presentation had the actual demographic info. I think I just referenced the table in the paper.
But the slides that I sent to you that you pulled from, I thought I had demographic slides in there. You didn't need them, so you didn't use them, but I thought they were in there.
All right. I will look.
Grant.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just found them.
Presentation. Whoa.
Just tried to put the new table in there. Faced it in huge. There we go.
Okay.
All right. So I think I have the correct table now. Of course. Now I'm having a I can't get the shell of the old table out of there, so we'll have to just clean that up. when we're doing our final draft.
The thing that Lee has set her as a bar graph, I think we have bar graphs of all that stuff. It just didn't paste in here.
Oh, okay. I just was thinking it might be easier on the, if we're going to put that in, it might be easier on the reader if it was in visual format.
We had it. It just wasn't pasted in. So I think it's in table now. So once it goes back to Word, we can paste in the graph.
Okay.
It just, it wasn't paste. Oh, wait, no, that's down under.
There are.
Based on in-class responses.
Do we have a like, group? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Do we have a group name for us on Google Docs?
I don't know.
Okay.
Should we delete that big table and then put the bar graphs, just make a note to put the bar graphs in place?
Do we need... Do we need all that detail?
All what detail?
Do we, since that was our pilot survey, just to choose our topic, do we need the percentages? Can't we just say that based on the pilot survey, these were the topics for these reasons?
Because
we have our detailed results for the opinion survey later. Do we need the detailed results for the pilot survey?
Oh, we do have the one for the actual semester later?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then no, we probably don't need it. Well, we need to have the list of topics somewhere, but we probably don't need the opinion data.
Right. Can we just summarize what we have in that table in paragraph form and just get rid of the whole table?
Yeah. We could probably put it in, like, bullet form.
Yes.
We'll put a comment to remind us. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm sure we will be doing lots of renumbering of the tables. That's why you'll see now, from now on, my tables just say table dash 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 because I know we're going to end up renumbering everything, so I'm not going to bother figuring out what they should be. Any other comments or questions on kind of the data or the analysis so far?
Hang on a second.
Did we have a citation for SOLO? Didn't we just use a website from somewhere and Randy's description for that?
Yeah.
Hey, Randy.
It was in thousands of hours. So we have delay. So I
wait. Yeah, I would say minus, I think that was on the sheet that I gave you towards the end. I would say minus, I think.
Yep. All right. Sorry about that.
All right. Sorry. Again, I had to answer a question from one of my TAs, so did I miss an important question or comment?
No, actually, I had to answer a question, too, so.
Okay.
I wanted to know about the SOLO. I don't know that we have a reference for SOLO. We kind of used a website combined with Randy's description. We can't cite Randy, so we'll have to find a reference for SOLO.
SOLO was in Watson. I know who does. It was in my dissertation. Hold on. I can find it. Give me a minute. Dissertation. Dissertation. Pen of bones. Table of contents. List of tables. Categories of interpretation of SOLO taxonomy for statistical reasoning. Reading and Reed, 2006. And then categories for developing concepts of sampling, Watson, 2004. Okay. I have a list of tables. What pages are those on? Let's see, page 39 and page 40. Okay. We could just cite me.
Personal communication. I would say, I think if we look a little bit into the solo stuff, we'll kind of see that there's kind of an approved citation. You know, there's the original paper is always a good place to go with. We can look and see who the website cites that we used. That's what I would suggest using for the solo reference.
Okay, learning theory. Hold on, I'm almost there. Conceptual change. Blah, 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 blah. I can't believe I wrote all this. Assessment. Summary. Okay, where is this stupid... Okay, I have lost the paper. Type in solo, and that would be so much easier. Okay, so several studies employed a version of solo taxonomy developed originally by Biggs and Collis in 1982 to develop a hierarchy of statistical reasoning. I've got like five different citations that have used solo to develop a hierarchy of statistical reasoning.
I would just go with the Biggs and Collis.
Okay. So,
or whatever the other name was.
I had it 2 seconds ago. Where'd it go? Biggs and
Collis. Is it as old as 1978?
1982. Well, that was the original solo taxonomy. And then what we, well, that's the thing, what we used as it was applied to statistical reasoning.
Okay.
There's a Redding and Reed paper that I cited from 2006. So we could use that, because that literally is the pre-structural, unistructural, multistructural, relational.
That's fine. Something a little more updated, that's fine.
Yeah. So Redding and Reed. Let's see if I can find. I can put it up in Mendeley. Find the link. Soto. Application. Mendeley, Mendeley, Mendeley. Too many windows open. Redding and Reed, an emerging hierarchy of reasoning about distribution, and surge. Okay. It's been so long since I've used surge or Mendeley, I forgot how to use this.
anyone even have a chance to read through my discussion or conclusion? I'll take that as a no.
I'm sorry, I'm not.
I mean, I put a relative risk in it in everything.
Ooh, impressive.
Okay. Trying to emphasize the positive.
Listen, I'll be right back. I have to take care of something real quick. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
You all still there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
And I say while she's gone, let's read my discussion and conclusion.
Okay, I'm scrolling there now.
Only because I just started it. I don't want to expand on it if you guys don't like where it's going. I never know how to start them, so if you want to edit how I start it, I have no problem with that.
I actually like the relative risk part. Yeah, I like where you're going with that so far. The discussion part, at least. I haven't read the conclusion.
Well, even like there, I discussed primarily the interviews since that's what I've done. We don't have all the other results yet.
Yeah, and I think our feeling thus far has been that there's not much really stellar to pull out of the in-class results yet.
And then
sorry, guys, my phone disconnected. Can you give me a quick recap?
Well, Lee
was here
for a minute.
Lee put in the reference and then lay, and then my phone disconnected twice.
Oh.
So you guys, I heard you're going to start talking about Jackie's section, I think. And then
I just glanced through her discussion section, and now I'm kind of looking at her conclusion section. I think it's reasonable, the conclusion, Jackie. The one kind of question I had just looking through it, the sentence in the conclusions, like the third line, belief and confirmation biases are something that educators have worried about for quite some time. I'm not really sure it's educators as much as psychologists have worried about these. So I would maybe change that to something psychologists have worried about for quite some time, and then try and add one more sentence that connects the psychologists, like that basically states why we as statistics educators should also be concerned. How, it's really one of the things we want to teach is statistical reasoning, but these biases would be something that would inhibit a student from reasoning statistically.
Okay.
other than that, I think you're off to a great start.
And then my this is just like a general question. Above Tara already did like a lot of the interview results, and so I guess I'm having a harder time distinguishing between then that and what the discussion would be, or if that should become part of the discussion.
The interview results.
Yeah, so if you kind of scroll up above after all the bullets.
I think, Jackie, I wrote more from my engineering background where you combine the results and discussion together.
Okay.
So we may have to pull out, we may have to separate them out if we want them separated. Because
so
anytime I've done...
The discussion doesn't look very long, so I'm like, well, Tara's kind of covered a lot of this already, so...
And I think it's just in engineering, anytime I've published anything, it's always, you know, the results and the discussion are combined. They're not separate sections. So we may just have to flip them out.
Yeah. I kind of like that better, but I think statistics, education still separates them, and that's what people will be looking for.
All right, so I might be moving some of your stuff then, Tara.
Right.
Right, so since Lee is gone, I don't want to do a lot of more discussion about specifics, but do we have any idea of generally what we need to do next? I think I'll definitely work on those two sections. I'll be able to do a lot more with the discussion right now until we have a little bit more of the results entered for the in-class stuff. But I do think it is a good idea, and this is what I had planned on doing, on emphasizing the interview results, since that's where we saw the biggest concern.
I'm sorry, did you say interview or in-class? My brain totally spaced on that.
If I emphasize the interview results.
For the discussion part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that is reasonable based on what we have so far.
And I mean, the other thing I noticed that we definitely need is someone just to kind of go through and find all of our references for us, because we have a lot of names of papers that we don't have included yet on the reference list.
I bet you Lee has a lot of them in her dissertation.
I think someone just needs to add those who are not accidentally, you know, mentioning one that we're not actually listing the full reference for later. But what do you guys think about where else we need to focus?
In the discussion specifically, or in our effort?
Paper as a whole.
Paper as a whole. I think the results section still need the most focus right now to really get this out the door. And that would be something maybe everyone can kind of look at that. Decide, again, kind of that third-party perspective, look at it and decide, what do we need? We've looked at a lot of different things, but if you were an outside party reading this, what would you expect to see to explore our hypotheses?
And then those 26 feet. Quite a bit, don't you think?
Kara, I think you were cutting a little in and out for me.
Yeah.
Oh, it said I printed it today. Mm-hmm. And when I printed it, it was 25 pages long. That seems a bit much.
Was that with all the appendices or not?
It was with the appendices, yeah.
Yeah, if it's with the appendices, I wouldn't worry too much about it, and I would also keep in mind that qualitative research is going to be longer.
I mean, especially I think if the paper itself isn't that long, I think you do have to have a lot in an appendix, and that doesn't bug me as much.
Yeah. I think as part of the research community, you should be including your instruments just so other people can see exactly what it was you did.
I'm back. Sorry.
So I think having a lot in the appendix is not bad.
It's 17 pages of writing and then the rest is the appendix.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about that at all.
Well, then, plus I think for especially more than life, you know, the first time you submit, you never get accepted right away. So that's just how life is. But I'd rather have to take stuff out than add more in. Because adding is so much harder than deleting, for me anyway.
Yeah, I think right now we should have it all in there. If it's going to a qualitative research journal, then the studies are just naturally longer. And so I wouldn't be concerned with page length yet. And then if we need to, once we actually settle on our journal, we can start to clean it up and tighten it up a little bit. But I would just get it all down on paper right now. All right, so we're at 1 o'clock, and I knew we're all really busy. What is our plan from here on out? I think that, Jackie, I like the direction you're going for with the conclusion. So I think that that would be good to kind of continue to expand that a little and maybe do some rearranging, pulling some of the discussion out of the interview section and putting it into the discussion.
Okay.
And then the biggest thing is still the results. I mean, the results is still, it's got something there to work with, but it's still very rough. I think what we need to do concretely is start with the tables that actually have the coding results in them. So I think, Tara, this would be what you had sent to me. Did you send it to just me or to everyone, the results.powerpoint, what you sent for the SRTL presentation? Tara, are you still there?
Did we lose Tara?
I think we might have lost Tara. She was having problems with her phone. Do you all remember getting a file from her? My file is called results.powerpoint. Do you all remember getting a file from her?
I would have saved it if so. Just let me look.
I'm back. I just connected again.
That's why I just asked you a question, and there was silence. The PowerPoint that you sent to me before SRTL, the results.powerpoint, did you send that to everyone?
I don't remember. Let me check. I thought I did, but maybe not.
I guess I also, did I send you guys my final version of the SRTL presentation?
Hold on. I was
just... Yes, you did send them to everyone.
Okay.
Sent them on July 15th.
Right. And then I think what I did was for the SRTL presentation. Actually, I don't think I changed much. I'm looking at the tables all titled, or the tables with the codes. I think that's where we should focus our effort into, you know, what story... What story are we going to tell out of these codes? Can we see some sort of pattern of reasoning emerging? I think by looking at them, we didn't see much in terms of support for our hypotheses. So is there another story we can tell out of these? Maybe that's a good thing for people to look at this week, is go to Tara's results file, look at the tables that actually present our codes, and see if there is something interesting emerging from those. Because I think that's the biggest substantive part of the results section left, whereas I think a lot else in the results section is just a question of kind of cleaning up tables and putting them in.
I can't remember if we have a certain number that I think might be useful for me. I think I asked this before, and I'm sure we did it. I just don't have the numbers in front of me. So can we get, like, the percents, or that's kind of like the number of students who got used irrelevant context in neutral scenarios versus in the non-neutral?
I think that is in the tables that I just put in. Well, there's the one table in there and another table that needs to be put in. But I think that information is captured in some of the results stuff I started to type up today.
Okay. So the least thing I could try to do, like, the relative risk thingy on that to see if there's a difference.
Yeah, I think those files should be updated, and then where I was getting those tables from was a document called, like, Analysis Plan Part A and Analysis Plan Part B.
Okay.
Which are referenced in the Google Docs, if you forget about them when you go to look later. I'm pretty sure that's something that I email to the whole group.
Did you email to the whole group?
The analysis plan. It says there's two files. One's analysis plan part A with output with all the comments.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I disconnected again. I have those. That's what I ran. I ran those based on that. So.
Yeah. Those are based on the most current data.
I think after you sent those plans, I sent additional files that had more. I don't remember if we did those before JS or after, or before your SRTL or after.
The date I have on them is August, so.
So it would have been files I sent after that had those analyses. And I'm afraid to go back to my computer because every time I go near it, my phone disconnects. So I'm now standing by the window.
Yeah.
Because I remember I did a lot of, I have, Jackie, those are all the files I sent you when you said you were using Enterprise Guide.
Okay.
All the SAS scripts that I sent to you, that's that detail. That's from those plans that Hurlow sent. That's what those are. So if we, I can resend the results. I still have them at home. But that's, I know that I did those analyses after you sent out those files, Hurlow.
Okay.
and I remember looking at results and sending. I don't remember if I sent you raw SAS or if I summarized it when I sent it, though.
All right, so we will need to kind of look and make sure we have the most current versions or the most current numbers for those tables. But, so, the tables that I think Jackie's asking about and that I'm talking about right now are tables that just summarize kind of percentages of context. You also made up tables that look more at the actual coding combinations.
Oh, yes. Those I did before SRTL and JSON.
So are those the most current things, or do those need to be updated as well?
Those are current.
Okay. So I guess we need to do... I think we need to do two things for the analysis section then. The first thing, which I think is a little bit more important and also more time-consuming, is look at the table from – look at the tables Tara sent out before SRTL, look at the codes, the percent of responses that have each code, and then look to see is there a story to be told out of those. We didn't see much support for our hypotheses, so do they tell us anything interesting? And I think that's
The last slide, I think we tried to summarize that in the last slide, too. If you just look at the last slide of that.
I see, like, overall use of context.
But that was based on the coding schemes?
Yeah. But I want to actually look at the coding scheme in a more kind of qualitative manner and see, like, are we seeing any sorts of patterns of reasoning? Are we seeing anything interesting in here other than just saying, well, the good news is they're not using context on an exam, like unnecessarily on an exam. Like I think if we were to all look at those tables and kind of see, you know, did MacPC have different codes that popped up compared to tuition? Can we get any useful information out of that? I think if we were to all take a look at those tables and just look at them as researchers and just say, without really hypotheses in mind, but just look at them as researchers and say, what do these tell us? I think that is the last big kind of piece of the puzzle we have to put together before we can really wrap up the analysis section. And I think if we were to all look at it, then that might give us a better picture. And then we can decide how to write it into the document. So I think that's what we should all focus on for the next week.
One thing I'm just remembering, and hopefully you all then do too, I remember when we did the tuition coding, we added an extra code for the p-value.
Mm-hmm.
And that we saw a lot of times when they had a p-value, they only focused on that. And so that might be something interesting for us to discuss.
Yeah. Yeah, that I like that. I think that goes along with the idea that, you know, kind of in that testing situation when they were really thinking about, you know, well, this is my statistics exam. A p-value is a very statistical thing. You know, chances are all of us focus a lot on those in our classes. I think that led credence to our theory that, well, in the test-taking scenario, they do all right. But when it's more informal, then they have problems. And certainly the inclusion of a specific p-value makes it more formal. So I think that's the sort of thing we should kind of look at either with the summary table Tara has, things we remember from just our own, like the process of coding, that sort of thing, is instead of looking at the data and thinking, well, do the data support our hypotheses, I think we should look at the data and say, well, what does the data have to tell me?
I think we also need to look at the emails from around that time when it was all fresh in our minds, because extend out some summer like that at that time. Remember we had bullet list summer emails saying that we were seeing our data, so we should probably look for those to refresh too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So shall we spend, now what is everyone's schedule like next week?
I'm giving finals all next week.
I'm in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
I'm free as a bird.
I am traveling, so there's a good chance I wouldn't be able to take a conference call next Wednesday because we may actually be in New York City. And then Thursday, Friday. I might be able to take a conference call Thursday or Friday, but I don't know if anyone else could do that or if we should just say we'll take the call after Christmas.
I can do Friday. Thursday I'm in exams most of the night.
Don't want to have your call in the middle of the exam?
No, I don't want to have on the middle of the exam.
Depending upon the time I can on Friday, because I'm not going into work and I have to pick up Owen from kindergarten.
So what time, when is he in kindergarten?
From 8 to noon.
Should we try and put in a, like, 10 a.m. call? Or?
I can try with the caveat that I will have my daughter.
I know how that goes. I will be at my in-laws' house, so my kids will be around, too.
Should we try for 10 next Friday? Or the week after Christmas will be in Kentucky.
I mean, you'll be here and then I'll be in Nebraska.
And I will actually be in Memphis, so.
The week after Christmas is bad. Yeah, I think if we don't do it on the 23rd, then we should probably just postpone it till January.
Okay. Well, I think so we do something on the 23rd. It might just be a quick one to check in. So that way it forces us to look at some stuff.
All right.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable. So 10 a.m. Okay. Pencil in. I doubt we'll have any problems with the conference line, but Jackie, would you mind setting that up?
Yes, I will set it up. Okay. Would you mind sending an email with the files they want us to look at the charts of? Because I feel like I have way too many things that I'm not sure of which ones I should be looking at.
I can resend it after I'm done. I'm meeting with my student, and I have class, so I can send it later today, though.
Okay, thank you.
I think that sounds good. And if you would just send it to all of us, that'll be good so we know we're all working from the same file.
Okay.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you all next week.
Sounds good.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.